Okay, here we go. Here we are. This is June 21st, 2018. First of all, I want to get this out of the way because this is important, and this is most important. Special thanks to our WCHE 1520 family. You know, this is Don't Get It Twisted, Concerned Citizens, Melanic Caucus sponsored talk show. We address the issues, needs, and concerns of Melanics, and we are informative and interactive roundtable. And we bring about the engagement of everyday people in the fairs and events that affect our lives. Now, you know something? There is something special that we brought today. Today's topic is not even about a topic. This is a community call to action, and it's to stand for humanity. And if you looked at the website, our website, my Facebook page, you see we have a very expedient manner that we need to talk about, and there's something that's going on. Now, this is something, I'm not going to call it something. This is problematic in our society that has been going on day in and day out.
A continuing issue.
And continuing issue. But now, this time, we're able to bring it to your backyard, your front door, knocking on your door, hitting your doorbell, doing whatever it takes to know it's right here and right now. We don't even need to talk about, to open up to say what's been going on. We already know and what the circumstances are going on. So, as you knew, we were they're on their way here. We had special guests that were going to be here today, that they're on their way. And with that, it's Azalea and Dee Dee Ghazali. This is a Mexican-American whose husband is detained right now and is going to be deported, okay? And we're going to get into that and what that situation is in here. And this is right here in our own neighborhood. And we need to wake up on some things. On the line, right off the bat, we're here with Chef Adrian. And by the way, we have Dr. Io. She's here with us.
Hotep, peace and blessings, everybody.
As I said, Chef Adrian's here.
Hi, guys.
We have a lot of guests that are here in the wings. Also on the line, I know there's another guest that's on the line that we talked. There was conference calls yesterday. Well, we're going to get into this. This was a call to action. That's why we put it out here. This is a call to action. So right now, with that situation going on, Adrian, you have your guest that's on the line.
Yes. With us is Sandy Harrison. Sandy has been working with me in trying to get immigrant issues out in Lower Merion, and he also is part of HCAN, and so it's in the surrounding areas too, and we're trying to make sure that the police are not working with ICE. And his involvement, I think, started before, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Sandy, Jonathan Palacios' story that happened in Haverford near in Lower Merion, where he was arrested by ICE agents there. Sandy?
So,
are you on the line, Sandy?
Hello, Sandy.
So it looks like we lost Sandy there. I tell you what, you know, this is okay because the case that we have that's coming here, I'm going to go ahead and this is something that's just so important we need to put it out here. When you look at the policies that are going on and you see this calls to our humanity. This calls to us to where we stand as a people. There are certain things that can be legal, but that doesn't make them moral or ethical. And this happens to be one. And in this case, Jaime Valencia, his situation is this. We have him on the line? He's back on the line? Here you go.
Hi, Sandy. Did you hear any of what I said, or were you cut off then?
I can't, if it was on the phone, if it was on the radio, I can't. I just said, you said you cut me off, so I am now talking on my cell phone. I can talk on either phone.
Okay, I was giving you an introduction saying that you work with me on immigration issues, et cetera, and I wanted you to talk about the Jonathan Police. CEO, I think I'm pronouncing his name right.
And Palacios.
Palacios. Yeah. And tell us what that's briefly what that situation was in Lower Merion and how you got involved in the immigration issue.
Okay, sure. So I'm part of the immigration and refugees activist group based in Haverford Township, although the various issues we focus in on go well beyond our borders. And the situation about Jonathan Palacios has similarities to that of Jaime Valencia. The one major exception is that Jonathan right now is in a good place. He wasn't, but 13 months ago, he was not in a good place, much like Jaime is now. And he is from Honduras. Over a decade ago, he left literally on a train and walking to get to the United States to escape a very abusive situation, very dangerous. He slept with a machete next to his bed, and he had to get out. And once he got to the border, he was, he was an unaccompanied minor, so he was rounded up and put through, asked to go through the system for a while. He skipped a school court date at age 16, not really understanding what it meant. He didn't hardly spoke any English. For the next 10, 11 years, nothing happened. He eventually got to Pennsylvania, worked at different jobs. He ended up getting married about 3 years ago to an American citizen, a Bryn Mawr College graduate. Everything was good. No reason to believe that it wasn't. A straight-A student at a community college, as well as working a good job. And in May of 2017, he was headed to work at early dawn. Two cars came up and boxed him in, and ICE agents, Immigration and Customs report.
Right. It's basically a similar story to what we're seeing now. Someone who had not really broken the law.
Not a story, this reality. There's this reality. And Sandy, can I ask, I hope you got to take a look at this along with Jaime, his situation here. Here he is, his wife is Mexican-American, and his daughter, they're both American. He is not a citizen.
But they are.
How does that play into? I know with the movement of the administration, with this new administration, when the executive orders were taken over, what the Obama administration had done, there was a prioritization of who was seen on deportation. That went out the window, and so it's like. People that don't even have criminal records and all, they are like could be put on the top. There's a form that he was the husband was processing for his I-130, and it seems that when he went to his interview, that was at the time that ISIS picked him up.
That is exactly what happened with Jonathan Palacios. He, in October of 16, which very significantly was 1 month before the world turned upside down and America lost its mind and voted in Trump, they had no reason to not go through with their own I-130 form. They were trying to get legal status for Jonathan because they had been married for 2 years. That put them on the radar screen of ICE. So once, Trump administration and Sessions came in, everybody, no matter what their status is, if they weren't illegal, if they did nothing wrong other than paperwork violation, they were treated as criminals. And that's what happened. He was rounded up and taken to the same York Detention Center as Jaime. He was there for 2.5 months. Finally got out on bail because of substantial community pressure. There was a vigil held for him with speakers, you know, religious speakers, politicians, ACLU, 275 people, lots of letters, and that seemed to work because he eventually got administrative court leave. He's not out of the woods long run, but indefinitely. He is in a good place, and he's still not an American citizen, but he is trying to work on that. And but it was a hellish experience and just completely unnecessary. I mean, he's a model person, just like Jaime, you know, member of the community, and created a lot of outreach. And the ICE people that came in, they just were just, I mean, it's very much like the Gestapo. That was the fear and feeling that they had.
I really want to thank you for giving this overview of what we're coming up against. And it looks like our guests, I'm not even calling them guests. This is what the topic about. The wife's getting ready to come in now. We want to be able to, can we get back?
So that's telling us how we have to get involved. That helped the gentleman last year, and we need to get involved now to help the gentleman this year.
Yes, but and we want to get back with you. Are we able to call you back?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
great. Yeah. We're going to open up lines. It seems like we have some lines got messed up. We got prank lines coming on one, so that's limited lines.
I will stay at this phone number right up until 2 o'clock if you need to call me.
Well, good.
And the other thing is, if you need our group, our action group, to help out in support, because I know time is of the essence here, because Jaime's facing a court date in several weeks, we can try to do something on our part to, you know, offer support.
Well, so is there a number or something someone can call?
Just call in and get in touch with me, because I'm in the same group.
Okay.
We're going to get ready to go on break here, because we have Jaime's wife and the advocate here. We're going to be set up. We're going to go on break. We'll get this. Listen, 610-701-WCHE 9243 is the number calling. It might be tied up there because of things going on there, but you can text us. You can put it on our Facebook and all. We're going to go ahead and get on break, get this down here, because this is very, very important. This is a call. This is a call to action and a stand for humanity. Be right back.
Fairways Apartments and Townhomes are comfortably nestled in the rolling hills of Thorndale in Chester County, within walking distance to schools, shopping centers, restaurants, and public transportation. The Fairways offers resort-style living within a few steps of a luxurious 18-hole course and just minutes from four major highways and the turnpike. Choose from garden-style apartments or townhome floor plans with amenities such as tennis court, large swimming pool, fitness center, sauna, community room, dog park, and free fitness classes. Call the Fairways for a private tour, 610-383-0690, and see what all the community has to offer.
Can your business benefit by talking to hundreds of thousands of potential customers with a single message? Radio PA is Pennsylvania's only statewide news network. Heard in all 67 counties, Radio PA penetrates urban, suburban, and hard-to-reach rural communities. If you'd like to explore a cost-efficient way to reach the entire state, call Radio PA at 717-910-2605. That's 717-910-2605. Nobody covers PA like Radio PA.
What is everyone talking about in Chester County? Find out on the News at Noon here on 1520 WCHE.
Okay. We are back. And with me right here, right now, this is Jaime's wife.
Hello. Come up to the mic.
There you go.
Hello, my name is Azalea Soto, and Jaime Aguilera is my husband.
Okay. So I know there's a group that has been put together to help you out. And first of all, we want to say to you, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for, and this is not a story. Thank you for taking the time to share your reality. And we want to let you know that we are here with you with this. And this is something that needs to be known. And this is not just for your husband. This is for his family and every other family that is like this in America.
Same thing.
And we want to thank you for your bravery. We want to thank you for your dedication. And in your own way, take your time with it. I want you to be able to tell your story, not your story, but your reality of what is here. And what this means and what this pertaining to not just yourself, but your family and even your husband. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody always says people should do stuff the legal way. Well, this time that's what we were trying to do. And so we try everything the legal way. We get our interview and they still took him. They still separated our family, knowing that we had health issues. I mean, I've been in and out. I've had several surgeries since I've been diagnosed with this genetic disorder that causes colon cancer. I've been in and out of the ICU with various life-threatening situations. And to think that my daughter, Daniela, 15, will soon have to go through these same surgeries. I can't do it by myself. I mean, one of us has to be there to take care of her, and the other one has to be working to support the family. So, I mean, we both need to be here for her. Just like, it's hard. I know it's going to be hard.
Now, Daniela, this is your daughter, Daniela.
Yes.
Hi, Daniela.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You know something? You're in Kennett High School?
Yeah.
And what year are you in? Are you graduated?
No, I'm going into sophomore year.
So you're going into your sophomore year. And you have sisters and brothers?
Yeah.
Also in the same school district?
My sister just graduated, and my brother's going into second grade.
And your older sister's getting ready to go to college, right?
Yeah, here in Westchester.
Right here in Westchester, right? A great student, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
Just like yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want everybody to understand and hear this. This is not a plaything. This is not objects. This is
people's lives.
And this is America, okay? All right? I really want you to understand this, what we're saying here. I want to go back a little bit. We're going to post everything online, and I see Dita. I keep on saying Dita. Dita is just coming. This is her advocate. This is the social advocate. We're going to be bringing her on, too, because this is so dynamic. You just can't say it within an hour. But I want this to be known also. Now, if we want to call it this way, ethnicity, Mexican-American, right?
Yes.
And you're both American citizens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did that come about? Did you live in Mexico and move here and become citizenship? Are you already in America?
No, I was born in Wilmington, Delaware.
You were born in Wilmington. Now, your father was Mexican?
My father and my mother both Mexican.
But they were not. They weren't American citizens at first.
No, they weren't.
Okay. Now, let me explain this a little bit. And this is a paraphrase. Her parents came into America looking for a way of life, upbringing, so they could have not just themselves, but the generations to follow, to have the hope and the promises, like everyone that came on boats or whatever, to get here, swim, run, hide, whatever, to get here. And some of them were even brought in chains and forced here. But it was for the American way of life. It was during the administration of Reagan, if I do not believe, 86, that was given, if you want to call it, of all things, this is another atrocity, amnesty, so those that are working here can be a part of the American family, as if they weren't already part of it. So at that point there, they are American citizens. And now his daughter, who is an American citizen, now is married. And we should be able to marry and choose whoever we want. So now her husband is coming. He is a proud Mexican.
Yes.
proud of his family, proud of this country, proud of all the here, and comes to work here, and he's here for his family. So now he goes through the processes to make sure that he is doing what we call the legal thing to be able to maintain in the land of opportunity. And at this point, it's taken away. If I put it somewhat right in that way.
Yes.
So during the processes, this is where we're taking. So, Dita, you're here now. And I know there was a conference call, which we had yesterday. And the name of your group, the group we have is...
Well, the community support page that I began on Facebook is called Community Support for Jaime Aguilera and the Soto Family. Right now, I started this page just as soon as I could, which I do believe was Monday. It's now Thursday. And we have, I think, over 300 members on the page. In conjunction with three other organizations in Kennett Square and the surrounding area, I'm working with other advocates who are financially supporting, emotionally supporting, and offering resources for families just like Jaime Aguilera's family and Azalea's family, who are going through very similar circumstances. However, in my mind, this case is that much more outrageous because Azalea is an American citizen and she has three native-born American citizen children, now almost four. And Jaime has been here illegally, and I use that word cringing, having said that, because my husband was also undocumented as well 30 years ago. And thanks to the Immigration Reform Act initiated by Ronald Reagan in 1986, my husband was able, as I've written on the support page, 2.7 million people, just like my husband, in the mid to late 80s, were allowed to continue legalization process. Jaime was doing the same thing in this last year, but he re-entered to support his family during their medical hardships so that they didn't need to fully go on public assistance. They have a medical hardship immediate coming up in August, and also Danny will require surgery in November. Without Jaime here to support them physically, emotionally, financially, not only will they suffer just to be able to have food on the table, but the emotional impact is enormous. And you can imagine all of the families and the children who've been separated from their parents, ripped from their arms, the emotional impact and mental health impact that we are talking about for thousands and thousands of children. There are families and children right here in our area going through exactly the same thing with their parents being incarcerated who are not violent or drug offenders. And this is what's outrageous. I feel, as do many others in our community, that they are being persecuted because of the color of their skin and their social economic hardship, poverty. But the last time I checked, it's not a crime to be poor in the United States of America.
It's not.
And if I could clarify, they're actually being persecuted not because of the color of their skin or their national origin, but because of racism. We need to call it what it is. There's nothing wrong with being Mexican, nothing wrong with being Mexican-American, so-called. What we have to do is start calling it what it really is. I have a term, the original super predator, psychopathic, narcissistic, racist Caucasian, who believes falsely that this is their their country, even though they're the invaders who came here, murdered, killed, raped, did whatever they needed to do to take this land from people who were here before them, and then have the audacity to say that this is their country and to make decisions about who can come and who can go. They do not and should not have that right. It should be something that the people who are here, which the majority of the people here are in fact Melanic people, who were here long before the Caucasian arrived. And so we need to stop being afraid to speak out and say that for those people who are not the original super predator, psychopathic, narcissistic, racist Caucasian, you need to stand up and say, we will not tolerate this, that this is not okay, and we need to talk about now what are the solutions.
And with that, just today, I was talking to somebody, and their response when he said about all these people coming over and so on and so forth, and how his grandparents worked so hard when they came over. And I said, why do you think brown people don't work as hard as your grandparents do? And he freaked out. He freaked out. Oh, you had to start with that. And I said, what I am telling you. He goes, that was not my intention. That didn't even come into my mind. And I said to him, that's because that's how we were raised. We were raised to think that racism is normal. Okay, that's why it didn't come into your mind. Reread your comments with this in mind. I'm waiting for a response, but it is. It's something that people don't even realize they're doing. Some people do have an agenda, like Dr. Ayo's mention of the super predator, but some people were. The whole country's been brought up to think that this is a normal thing.
And
just as they did during slavery.
Yes.
Right.
And on the line, we have one of the advocacy who's going to be with us. But we're getting ready to go on break in here, and we're going to bring that gentleman on. And you'll have heard his voice before. 610-701-WCHE-9243. We know the numbers might be tied up and going there, but send messages at least. And be online, be ready. Don't get it twisted. This is for real. We got to stand for humanity. Be right back.
I was on the internet the other day and typed in Carp and Hart Law. I wanted to see the website, which my friends Steve Carp and Peter Hart created. As you know, Steve Carp hosted Legal Talk on WCHE for many years. Carp and Hart limits its law practice to only serious personal injury cases. Their website is filled with great legal articles, including interesting cases, legal tips, and profiles on Steve and Peter. Their website also discusses their areas of practice, including auto accidents, dog bites, slip and falls, cancer misdiagnosis, medical prescription errors, motorcycle accidents, nursing home abuse, and wrongful death. You'll meet with Steve Carp personally, an attorney with 40 years experience in personal injury trial law, not some young lawyer or paralegal. If you've been injured, go to carpandhartlaw.com. That's spelled K-A-R-P and Hart, H-A-R-T, law.com. Or give Steve Carp a call at his office, 610-430-2200. That's 610-430-2200. And remember, Carp and Hart is the Chester County personal injury law firm with a heart.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
From Westchester to Coatesville, from Kennett to Chester Springs, from Parksburg to Paoli, this is your home for all things Chester County. WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
Okay, we are back. As you can see, this is real, and we are ramped up about this. Yesterday, we had a conference call, and Dita. I met Dita a little while back in another endeavor. This is a strong community advocate. You said over 200 and some members, and I know we put a call out for a conference call to get ready for this today. And how was the response?
Hardly anyone. It may have also been the time of day. People were commuting. It was from 5 to 6 o'clock was the call. I also think so many people in my circle of quote-unquote Facebook friends and real-life in-person friends are not clear on what can we do if we're not on the southern border right now and what's really going on in our community. Because of the New York Times op-ed story that was published about 2 weeks ago, that story was shared on the community Facebook page for Kennett Square. That is how I, in fact, learned about the family. What I commented on that particular thread, because there were a few people who were criticizing the article, also talking about this family abusing the potentially American or U.S. agencies because they were having too many children, in their opinion, in this particular person's opinion. And I stood up and said, no. You will not do that here. I will report you, and that man was reported on that Facebook, on the comment. But I think what I saw there, and I see a lot in the white community in Kennett Square, is that as much as we want to have this diverse community, the white culture is still not willing to stand up, speak up, get involved, do what they can to show their support. I mean, a small number are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that small number, on the conference call that was on there yesterday, and I was on there, we have one of the organizations and groups that made sure that they were there. And you all know, last week, this brother brings it hard and for real. None other than Montgomery County's NAACP, Monroe County. Brother John, Tom, are you there online with me, brother?
Yes, I am. You hear me?
Okay, yeah. Here you go. This is your time.
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for having me and everything. And I'm listening to all the talkers, you know, and a lot of it is hitting right on point. It is a form of discrimination and racism. You know, we say that America is the land of the free and opportunity, but as we can see, the last year and a half, that has gone backwards, okay? The thing is, for us to act in that manner, there is an agenda, like the young lady said. There's an agenda, because it started with calling out Muslims and the Mexicans, okay? So who's next? You don't see it, but it's in the background, okay? Because if they're going to be able to turn around and try to use the law against us because they say they're illegal, but on the same hand, we say we take care of those who need help, we're kind of contradicting that. You understand what I'm saying? So what we've done here in Monroe County, like they're doing across the nation, we're going to be having our little vigil protest this coming Sunday against this immigration policy that they have set forth. And I see the national NAACP also is standing firm as well. And what we need to do, we need to stand up and come together and enforce what we want to enforce and them enforcing it on us, because that is the American way, and the people are the ones that do the decision making around here, not just the government.
Great. Now, also online, we brought with us, now this is another NAACP chapter who happens to be right there in the main line. This is the president of that chapter, Diane Robinson. Diane, are you there?
Diane? Yes, I'm here.
Oh, right. And you know our own Chef Adrian is a member there. Oh, yeah. She wants to give a shout-out to you there.
Hi, Diana. Welcome to the crowd.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Okay. Now, what came out, another thing that came out of this conference call that we had yesterday, and something that's been ongoing, the Southern Chester County chapter of the NAACP, which has been dormant for a few decades, is being brought back to its fullness, or trying to be brought back. And out of this, these two dynamic chapters there in Monroe County and Mainline have stepped up to the helm, have said that they're going to assist in making sure that we get our local chapter, the Southern Chester County, back on speed, in line, so we can jump on this right away. And I want to commend both of you there for that. And do you want to speak on a little bit on that, Diane, of what that's going to entail when you come to, Diana, when you come to get us together that we can move forward?
I mean, I think one of the things that's absolutely critical, and you had mentioned earlier about, you know, the power in numbers. And so it is the NAACP has been very active since 1909 for issues such as we're discussing now and others. And so the more units that we have that are active and that are able to participate in the various communities, so when we come together, the issues that we're discussing are like issues. And so it is very critical to help our sister brother unit to be on point so that within their own communities, they can fight the particular issues that are either unique to their areas, but as a group, those that we have in common, we certainly benefit, all of us benefit when we can come together to fight the same issue.
And we want to thank you for that. I know on our the website that you can look for, and you can see the initiative, there's already up there showing where this initiative is going for. It is the SCCPANAACP287.org. And tomorrow, Dina, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to be uptown. We're bringing it right to the neighborhood. We're coming to Kennett Square. We're going to be there at Kennett Square. We're setting up our booth there for all those the people that are throwing up their hands, saying they're there. Here's where you can say your actions speak
louder,
not just your words, but your actions, because we're going to make sure we're right there what we need to be able to get that chapter up and running again, and then to go ahead and address this. And we're going to do it collectively. If I'm not mistaken, Brother Monroe, and both Diana, we have made that commitment that the NAACP chapters and all these organizations, we're going to come together and bring the cohesion and work, as you were saying, together. I think we're in right consensus there, right?
Absolutely. That's the only way that anything is going to work, even on these issues with immigration, as well as discrimination, racial hate, economically, socially. We have to come together. We have to stand together, and we have to be cohesive, because like Diane said, there's strength in numbers. And see, among those numbers are going to be people that are not only activists, but people who are going to be able to support us financially in order for us to spread the word. And once we're able to do that, we'll be able to make those decisions, even this coming election of 2018. And that's the other place that we're going to have to be able to make a difference. Because once we start making difference in those areas together, that's where our power comes from.
Well, I want to say thank you for that there, Brother Tom. And Diana, we're looking forward for you to helping us on that, because that's going to be put into full swing. I'm letting we got a couple minutes here before we go break. Adita, I know she's ready to bring this in here. Yes.
I hope we'll have a chance to let the listeners know what they can also do via phone. And right now, in the case of Jaime Aguilera, they can make a phone call to the Philadelphia Field Office for Immigration, and the other agency is called Enforcement and Removal Operations. This is what we need to do immediately to get on the phone. I want to give that phone number later, to raise your voice and say, for this family, for Jaime Aguilera Valencia, he's his full name, but they primarily it's Jaime Aguilera, his family needs him here. They are facing grave medical circumstances, and to remove him now when he and his family have supporters who are willing to offer jobs, who are willing to offer financial assistance and vouch for him in every way, shape, and form, would be criminal in my mind. So I hope to share some more information about that.
And you know something? This is imperative. This is all information we're going to make sure that's up there on the website. We're going on 610-701-WCHE 9243. If you want to call in, you can try to call in and go on with it and all. Back to the NAACP, you want to go to their website. I know Monroe County, they have a website. Diane, Mainline?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, and that's a little more active than our website. It's the Mainline Branch NAACP.
Great, and you're going to see this collective action moving on. I want to thank our guests there that are on the line of the telephone. Thank you for calling. We have problems with one of the lines going in. We're going to get that straightened out there. We were going to be following you back up. What I would like to ask you both, though, if I could, prior to going off just before the break, would it be possible to be able to have you come on the show next week so we can go in full collectively together? Can I get that commitment from one or both of you?
Yes, you have my commitment, yeah. Everett.
Great. Okay, so we're going to have
this is Diana. Yes. You have mine as well.
Great. We're going to have to get off the line here with the little technical problems we have with lines and all, but we'll get that all straightened out. And we're going to be looking forward back to seeing you next week, because I got another special guest that I have here that's going to be back with us right after this break. And we're going to get back, and we're going to talk back with this loving family, this a beautiful American family. And we're gonna do the right thing. We're gonna do this call right. We're gonna stand for humanity. Don't get it twisted, but we're right back.
Sunscreen?
Check. Tickets?
Check.
Did you pack the bug spray?
Bug spray.
Yes, bug spray. Mosquitoes and ticks carry diseases like Lyme and viruses like West Nile and Zika that can make us very sick. Bug spray is the best protection, no matter where we travel this summer.
Bug spray, check.
Great, let's go.
For more information, visit health.pa.gov. This message made possible by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
If it's happening in Chester County, you'll hear about it here. WCAG 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
Okay, we are back. You know something? What's that? Excuse me. Uh-oh, somebody is waving me down, getting ready to come in here, take over my mic, and this is like my brother from another mother.
Yeah, but first I have to take over the mic. This is Chef Adrian, and I'm having an issue here with you calling the United States America.
Yes.
I mean, if we were actually America, there's North America, South America, Central America.
That's right.
And we are all Americans.
Touché.
Right.
Touché. Oh,
so if you want to call people Americans, we are all Americans.
So there should be no issue about you coming up from another part of America to be in another part of America. Except this is really about racism. It's really about people who identify themselves as white or Caucasian who are racists, because not all Caucasians are.
No.
But for those who are, they do not want Melanics or people of color
to have the same benefits as Caucasians? Because as we heard 45 say, you know, if you were from Norway or if you're from, you know, someplace like Sweden or something, there would be no issues. You never hear of any Caucasian ethnic group being treated the way Melanics are treated.
Well, if you go back in history, you will see that when the Irish came here and the Italians and the Jews and the Poles were all said that they shouldn't be here. But again, it was still racist because they were not considered white at the time.
Right.
Yeah. And guess what? Okay, I'm coming. Somebody's pulling me from my shoulder and getting ready to hop. Here he is. And you know what? I'm letting him have the mic.
And right before he jumps in, this is Dr. Ayo. And I just want to say that what we're talking about is terroristic behaviors. And that the people who are experiencing these behaviors are being severely traumatized, which will be a long time, chronic, the rest of their lives experience. And I would love to see a class action suit against those individuals who have committed these crimes against humanity.
Thanks for having me. On that note, thanks for having me, everybody. It's an honor to be back. My name's Nick Dominski. I'm the candidate for state representative in the Westchester area. And I think this is something that we need to focus on a local level as well, and let the people know that this is happening in our own backyard. This isn't a political issue. This is a humanitarian crisis. And hearing your story, I'm sure you're not the only one, Azalea. I mean, this is happening all across the county. This is happening in our own state, but not just at the border. So how can we really make a difference from a local standpoint is I'm Caucasian. I'm white, but I'm not racist. It's standing up for everybody, regardless of who they are, and making it known that, you know, you can't just always assume that things are going to change over time if you don't say anything. We have to really speak up. So I'm in full support on the humanitarian efforts on really bringing families together and making sure this doesn't happen again. This is just the beginning. So I don't know if you have any questions for me as a candidate. I'm not an elected official in the state house yet. However, I worked for a Melanic member of the House of Representatives, the only minority member in Chester County, which is Representative Harry Lewis. So I am familiar with how the state works and what we can do to really to bring change on the local efforts too. So
let me ask the question. Mm-hmm. What do you see as a solution to this problem? What should people do, and what is the solution?
Letting people know that this is an issue that's affecting everyone and not just people along the southern border.
Does it affect other people?
I mean, this is affecting families, neighbors, and I have many friends who are immigrants from Mexico or other areas across the world. My own grandmother was an immigrant. It took her decades to become a U.S. citizen. And looking at me, I mean, you wouldn't think so, but it's something that it's something that we really need to bring to the table. And I don't think, quite frankly, I don't think my party's really doing such a thing as of now.
So once you are elected, what will you do differently?
I would promote legislation that, from a state standpoint, I mean, I can't.
Which is only what you could do.
Right.
State representative.
Right. I can't do everything. And I tell people this at the doors when I go door knocking that, I look at issues such as this as this is not a political issue. This is something that we, regardless of your political affiliation, should be standing up and promoting legislation to prevent this from happening, not just from maybe people who are immigrants or here. I hate to say the word illegally, but also
undocumented,
right? But also maybe people who are incarcerated. I mean, this is something that families are being torn apart left and right, and it's affecting the Pennsylvania residents when it comes down to the Corrections Department of Pennsylvania. How can we promote legislation to protect people who are working and who are having families, raising families in our area? I mean, this is a human thing. Whether you're a religious person, this is a compassion. This is something that we need to really show that we can promote legislation that would prevent something like what Azalea and her and the family is going through.
Let me also say that no one has talked about this, but as a psychologist, one of my concerns is the sexual abuse and physical abuse of these individuals who are being detained, who are being separated and put in these animal cages that we're not talking about, is that there's nobody monitoring the behavior. These children, I can tell you without even being there, that I know that there's abuse going on.
And because that's what happens all the time.
That's right. Because if somebody's not being protected, then those individuals who are not being protected become victimized at yet another level. And so I would hope that there's also going to be some prosecution of people who engage in these unholy behaviors.
And especially since you have all these places where the children and families are being kept are not U.S. government agencies. They're run by private contractors. And private contractors would not be being held to the same standards as a U.S. government site. Not that necessarily they're the best.
However, they should be held accountable. And we should be monitoring how the treatment of, I mean, these are human beings. there's no joke. I mean, this is, it's to think about another human being in a cage. I just imagine that's, and people don't realize that this is actually happening. They see pictures. They may think, okay, that's only happening there. They don't realize that this is happening to their neighbors. I mean, to people within, you know, miles from their house. I'm in Westchester, but Kennett Square is, I'm just getting my car 10 minutes away.
Can I just speak to that a little bit? This is Dita Gazzoli again. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons when we relocated to the East Coast from California, I was raised along the southern border in Southern California. Mm-hmm. My parents were very active with the Latino community there because they were both bilingual. So when we moved to the East Coast, I wanted my children to have the diversity that they had in California. The only district that offered Spanish in the curriculum 6 months out of the year was Kennett Square. Yeah. We could have chosen many other townships and Wilmington as well. My husband works at J.P. Morgan Chase. My husband was an undocumented worker 30 years ago, as I mentioned earlier. And now he's a top executive at J.P. Morgan Chase. Again, Kennett Square is the only community that in and around that I know of in these smaller townships, and Avengrove, Avondale, Westgrove, where the population of diversity is the same as the quote-unquote white community. That's why we chose Kennett Square. I wanted my children to have that diversity. I wanted them to have Spanish in their curriculum. I wanted them to know how important it is to embrace as many cultures as they can and to always make sure that they understand how difficult it is to remain in the integrated in the community. And this is what changed from the 1970s and 80s up until now, where that did change and progress was tremendously made. So that's why we chose Kennett Square, because of the Latino community.
You know something, you hit on something very important, and I was talking to Azalea here. We're both from the same area. And the other dynamic we're talking about, we as Melanics, and especially the Black and Hispanic community, when I was coming up in Avengrove School District and in that area, that our population, it was the Black population was 14 to 17%. Hispanic was only 8, maybe if most, 8%. And as it comes up, those dynamics have really changed. But then there's also in the community the dynamic of how, as Melanics, our relationships together. And I was talking to the mother earlier, and then I wanted to ask her about something very poignant she asked me, told me. And what, you want to talk about that? What that was, the one big word that we have where the unity was what?
Afraid. With the Hispanic community is afraid to even come out of their houses sometimes, especially when, for instance, last week, ICE was there in Landenburg at the light at the Mexican store that's there at the light and in Tough Kennedy, I'm sorry. And you could see the difference in the traffic. Like, it always takes me longer to get to pick up my son that's right there on Newark Road. And that day, there was no traffic. I mean, people are afraid to come out. They're afraid that they're going to be pulled over and ripped away from their families.
I have a question for you. This is documented people who have that fear, too.
Yes.
This is not just undocumented.
Yes.
People who are citizens, people who have lived here for years. This is not just undocumented people. There's a fear throughout the community.
Yeah, for people who are born here. Absolutely. We have to understand that what we're doing is traumatizing not just undocumented people, but all people who are at
United States citizens.
Exactly. People who are United States citizens are being terrorized by ICE, and that needs to stop.
In Chester County alone, people minutes away from where we are right now, in Tenet Square. That's the eye-opening part of the whole.
The tactics may be different, but the means are the same.
Yes.
Fear. Yeah. Isolation, separation.
Absolutely. And that's why we need to work together. We need to change where we spend our money, who we support. We need to start pulling together as Melanic people and Caucasians who are, in fact, non-racist, need to come together and stop this.
And, you know, we're coming down on our time here. So, as you can see, tomorrow we'll be in Kennett Square. And we're gonna post all the phone numbers and all and get that on up there. But we'll give our location where we are. Come on down there.
What time?
We're gonna be there from 8 till whenever. We're gonna be there getting as many as we can. The NAACP chapters and the other organizations said there. We're gonna try to bring them in there. I know our time is short coming to here. We're gonna get ready. We're gonna follow up on this because we will be following up on this. And next week we're definitely gonna be on top of this here. As we're getting ready to go, one thing that we want to give a message out to everybody out there, so you know, and this, we're reversing it. We just want to put everybody on vanguard. We want to put you on guard to let you know all those, what do you call them, Dr. Io? Those
original super predator, psychopathic, narcissistic, racist Caucasians.
We're about standing for humanity, so what do we tell them? Don't get it twisted.